I painted Pendergast, Brandon Scott in the role of Seth Payne today and tomorrow. Seth will be back on Thursday.
Big shoes to fill, man.
Yeah, no, Seth, he's no doubt about it. So, Seth, we will see you back on Thursday. We'll be at Texans training camp by then. We'll be at training camp tomorrow. First practice, Texans out tomorrow. Well, tomorrow at this time, we'll be about 2 or 3 minutes away from a press conference with Nick Caserio,
that's right,
Texans general manager.
We'll all kind of be gathering in a small space.
Yeah.
Waiting on the GM to talk.
We'll talk about that later. What are the questions for Nick Caserio, the big ones? Because there have been some things this offseason we have not had a chance to talk about DeMeco nor Nick with yet that have happened. I mean, not to go to a darker place, but like we've not heard anything about the Jimmy Ward situation.
Yeah.
From the team or anybody from the team. I would imagine they're going to get asked about that. I would imagine they've got an answer ready for that.
Yeah.
Because it's still a very much a legal situation with Jimmy Ward.
Yeah, and they've had plenty of time to think on it.
Yes.
You know, what they might say or what they want the messaging to be. So
yeah.
we'll find all of that out pretty soon.
Still a Houston Texan. So that there's that. And I'm guessing the NFL is doing their due diligence on it as well.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of football stuff to ask Nick and DeMeco. DeMeco will meet with the media after practice tomorrow. Nick before. We're going to get Nick on this show at some point within the next, I think probably week or so, probably be next week.
Yeah.
If I had to guess, but we're still nailing down a date and a time for that. But he joins us at the beginning of training camp every year.
A football point quickly though, since you mentioned Jimmy Ward, yeah. How cool is it for the Texans that you feel a lot better about where they are at safety, to where the Jimmy Ward point is its own question and its own issue really for all clearly off the field reasons.
Yeah.
But when you try to translate it to, okay, what does this mean for the Texans on the field?
Right.
It's not nearly the pain that it would have been 2 years ago when you were relying on Jimmy Ward the way you were.
Not even close.
Now that you've got C.J. Gardner-Johnson and, of course, Kalen Bullock's emergence last year as a rookie.
Well, you still got Jalen Petrie in a pinch if you needed to shuffle things around.
Yep.
You know, and I as far as day three picks go, you know, I like Jalen Reed, the kid out of Penn State.
Sure.
And, you know, still got MJ Stewart in the building and whatnot. So, yeah, but as far as guys that are high-level performers, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Kalen Bullock, and then I think if you needed to put Jalen Petrie at safety,
yeah,
having that available, you're in better shape than most teams in the NFL at that position.
I even like your point about Jalen Reed. Like, just from, I don't know how he projects as a pro, but I liked him at Penn State.
I liked him a lot at Penn State.
Yep. So, yeah, I think the football point is that it feels a lot better to be in the position that they are at that position group, given the Jimmy Ward kind of uncertainty,
yep,
if you will.
That's a good point. Why are people so underwhelmed with Jalen Hurts? We know that the group of executives, coaches, and scouts have voted in the ESPN top 10 at each position poll. Had him at 9th. They had him behind guys like Jared Goff and Justin Herbert, who's never won a playoff game. Jalen Hurts has been to 2 Super Bowls and played well in both of those Super Bowls.
Yeah.
He's the MVP of one of those Super Bowls. He's behind Justin Herbert, who has not overall team-wise accomplished anything in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't know, and I'm a Justin Herbert guy, but I don't know if there's anybody that's lived more off of liking the cut of his jib. You know, like hey,
yeah, that,
you know what, he looks
got a big arm.
Yeah, I mean, he does have all of the physical traits and all of the physical tools,
right,
if he can put it all together and if Harbaugh can tap into it. Like, it's there. It just has not happened yet.
No.
So, I mean, I don't – and for – and, you know, the opposite with Jalen Hurts, it has happened.
Yeah, you know, he's in the postseason literally every year that he's been the full-time starter. He's been to 2 Super Bowls.
Literally just won it. The last football we saw was Jalen Hurts balling in the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl.
Jalen Hurts is impervious to recency bias. Like, most everybody else, the recency bias, you know, like Jalen Hurts would actually like to have some recency bias in his life. Here was Cam Newton on his YouTube show, his podcast, saying Jalen Hurts is not a top 10 quarterback in the NFL.
I know everybody's going to get mad at this.
Cam hating on Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts does not have to play elite for the Philadelphia Eagles to win. He has to play good, but he doesn't have to play elite. We're not asking you to win the game. We're just asking you not to lose it.
When you ask that question, are we winning because of you, solely because of you, or is it the resources around you?
So game changer, game manager, those are the things that you have to ask yourself, and those are the metrics that I'm going off of.
It's like, bro, even when the tush push, you got 5 people pushing you, bro. You got a solid group around you, dog. And I, man, the man who Jalen Hurts is, bro, I respect him. I take my hat off to him. But just because he's a great guy, that don't mean I can't critique his game.
Okay.
Man, I feel like this is a lazy take by Cam Newton.
It's super lazy.
Because I think a lot of the things that he's saying has truth to it. Like, but it's absent of the context of Jalen Hurts' actual play.
Yeah.
I think it is true that because of what they've built in Philadelphia, he doesn't necessarily have to be great for them to be successful. They can be really good if he's just not bad. Like, that part of it is true. But it ignores the fact that he has been great at times. Like, especially in the most important moments, like, I don't know, the Super Bowl.
Right.
He's great in the Super Bowl. In defeat and in victory, he's been excellent in both Super Bowls that he's been a part of. And that's in spite of the fact that they don't necessarily need him to be, as Cam Newton is saying,
yeah,
they don't need him to be great for them to be successful. Except, though, that he is and has been in some key moments.
This is the most frustrating part of that for me. And I say frustrating. It's Cam Newton's opinion. It's whatever. But the lack of logic to me. I get upset when the logic escapes an argument. Is that he's penalizing him for having good teammates and a good defense. I think a lot of these, hardly any of these, none of these good teams are a one-man show.
Yeah.
You know, Lamar Jackson, he has talent around him. It sounds now he's making me sound like I'm down-talking Lamar Jackson. They've got talent on defense all the time. They've got talent around him.
To be fair to Cam Newton, that is Cam Newton talking, and he can't relate. Like, he did have to carry
his team. He did have to carry his team. And that's fine. And that's the prism he's looking at it through. This is where the logic escapes for me. You're a quarterback. What are you measured by if we're talking about quarterbacks? You're measured by Super Bowls, ultimately. If we're talking about the level of quarterback that Cam is referring to here, and that when we have these arguments of who's the GOAT and who's this and who's that, ultimately you've got to at least get to or win Super Bowls to be inside that velvet rope. None of these other – unless your name is – I'll use the last 7 or 8 years. Unless your name is Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, or Patrick Mahomes, none of these other guys have done what Cam's talking about and been able to take that group around them and go win a Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts has.
Yeah.
He has been able to do that. Like, Cam makes it sound like it's common practice for these slew of guys that are these one-man show Superman types that are just routinely taking teams deep into the playoffs, into Super Bowl victories. And the fact of the matter is, there's three guys that have won all the Super Bowls going back to 2018, if I'm not mistaken. Brady's won a couple. Stafford won one. Mahomes won three. And maybe I'm missing somebody in there. But that's it. The rest of them are petering out at best in the conference title game, if not before that.
And then it's like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because if you are, you know, and maybe – you know, like Joe Burrow is a good example. Yeah. You know, somebody who was trying to carry his team and is basically all of these things that Cam Newton is saying that Jalen Hurts is not. But where did that leave Joe Burrow? Watching the playoffs.
9-8.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I just called on this show earlier today, a wasted and lost year.
Yeah.
He said this on the quarterback series on Netflix. Made some cool plays, but, like, you know, stats are cool and all. But what does it really mean? How, you know, what is the value of it if you're not winning at the end of the day, not even going to the playoffs at the end of the day?
Ryan Clark on ESPN responded to Cam Newton yesterday on, I believe this was on either First Take or Get Up. Here was Ryan Clark. I thought this was a good response to Cam's contention that Hurts is not a top 10 QB.
Eli Manning is going to be a Hall of Famer. Why is Eli Manning going to be a Hall of Famer? Because he had two epic runs to the Super Bowl. And in those Super Bowls, he played great. And he beat the GOAT, not only of that time, but the GOAT of the era, right? But he's only been to 4 Pro Bowls. He never got an MVP vote. He was never an All-Pro. Jalen Hurts has done all of those things. Right now let's look at Jalen Hurts in this time. In the Super Bowl, how do we measure every quarterback in the AFC? What is your proximity to Patrick Mahomes? You know the three quarterbacks that's beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs? I know who they are. They're Joe Burrow, they're Tom Brady, and they're Jalen Hurts. And not only did Jalen Hurts beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs or in the Super Bowl, he outplayed him in the Super Bowl. And so now, here is what I think. If you don't want to count Jalen Hurts in your top 10, I have one question. Who's in the top 10? And how do you get there? And the last thing is, dudes, this, right? Cam Newton is using excuses to not put Jalen Hurts in the top 10. Excuses are tools of incompetence that build monuments of nothingness. And those who major in their usage are non-achievers. The ring that Jalen Hurts is walking around with says top 10 to me. Tell Cam to show you his.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's, I don't know what the whole monument of this and that was with Ryan Clark. It felt like something he came into that ready to unveil and use right there. I thought.
Yeah, he chose violence.
The crux at the very end. Yeah, Cam, show you his ring. I thought Ryan Clark made a pretty good argument there. People are weighing in on the text page. Also, being a great man is part of being a great QB. I think there's something to that. Jalen Hurts is, his leadership skills are, yeah, reputedly off the charts.
He is an elite leader in the class of just overall leadership.
Yep.
Period. Like in any genre.
Text message. He doesn't have to be great, but he is. That may be true too. He doesn't have to be. You know, Howie Roseman is the best general manager in the sport today.
Yeah.
He's done an incredible job of putting a team around Jalen Hurts. That shouldn't penalize Jalen Hurts.
Right.
That shouldn't be a penalty to him.
It's exactly what I was saying.
Yeah.
You know, like he does not have to be great. That part of it is true.
Yeah.
But when he is great, we shouldn't just take the he doesn't have to be great and then just disqualify him from actually being great once he is. Like, Sean, I wonder how much of this is self-fulfilling prophecy for some people. Because, I'll just speak for myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't think Jalen Hurts was going to be a great NFL quarterback going in. I just did not believe in
it. The league made him a second-round pick. They didn't think he was going
to be. Yeah, I mean, I wanted him to be. I was Channel View Zone. I'm rooting for it. But I did not see it, personally. Mm-hmm. And didn't think it was there. I'm wrong.
Yeah.
He proved me wrong. Credit to him. He did it. So I'm not going to keep saying the thing that I was saying before he did the thing to prove me wrong.
Right.
I'm now going to change my opinion to reflect what happened. And I wonder how many people are still saying the thing that they said about him before, even after he has disproven the theory.
They just won't let go of a bad opinion.
Won't let it go.
Don't ever say that about Brandon Scott. He'll let go of a bad opinion.
Yeah, man, I'll die on some hills. I'll even die on some bad opinion. But when it's like the evidence is there, they play the games, they're on television, we watch them, it's in the damn Super Bowl. How could you argue against this guy?
Jalen is what this, I'll sum it up with this. This is from Max. Jalen is what Cam wanted to be in the NFL.
Yeah.
And maybe something to that. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Brandon Scott is in for Seth Payne. Up next, the NFL.com has begun unveiling their NFL Top 100 players. They're 32 players in. We've not seen any Texans yet. Can we get context clues from who's been named so far that these Texans are going to make the list? We'll have that for you coming up next.